Hallelujah. Yes, he is.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Oh, praise you, Lord.
Somebody ought to catch that bug.
Amen.
Glory. Wonder how much more he'd do for you if you thanked him like that every now and then. Luke chapter number 16. What a blessing. Somebody said, what did David mean in Psalms 23 when he said, my cup runneth over? That? You say, I don't agree with that. Well, you disagree with the Bible. And we could just take a little time and run some scriptures this morning. We could show you shouting all through this thing. And it wasn't just shouting. It was a great shout time after time. It was a shout that could be heard afar off. Amen. I hope the Methodist up the road heard that this morning. I hope Creflo's bunch down the street heard that this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I like it. I like it. I like it. What a blessing. This morning, I told you I'm going to do it again tonight, but so far, Brother Anthony, we've taken up $1,198, so just about $1,200. Don't applaud. That ain't enough. I'd like to see that closer to two after the service tonight. Amen. And I want to be a blessing to this man and take care of his needs. Amen?
Yes,
he can't work because he was helping us. And he's only alive because of the grace of God. Amen?
Yes,
what a blessing. Luke chapter number 16. Are y'all there?
Yes,
somebody said, you going to preach after all this? I sure am.
Yes,
if I can find my glasses, I had them. Anybody see them? Wonder where? I see it. Thank you. And they broke. Everybody hollering directions at the same time. It's confusing. Amen. It's a new style. Amen. I'll be all right. Luke chapter number 16. I can about quote most of this anyway. So let's look at our Bible in verse number 19. Very familiar passage of Scripture, but rarely used. This morning, for a few minutes, I'm going to preach what most preachers want, and we're going to talk about the reality of a place called hell.
Amen.
Hell's not fun to preach about, but it must be preached about. Everybody wants to sing about heaven, and I do too. Everybody wants to talk about heaven, and I do too, but there is a reality of a place called hell. Jesus came and gave his life because there is a hell. It's amazing how many people, and even preachers or so-called preachers, who will agree that there is a place called heaven, but disagree with a place called hell. Some of the most famous preachers in America have made statements as such as that there is no fire in hell. That hell is just a place away from God. It is a place away from God. It's a place as far away from God as you can possibly be. But it is also a place of fire, and it's also a place of torment. Listen to me. There's a lot of places in this world you don't want to go. But there's one place you want to make sure you don't go, and that's a place called hell. Amen. How dare these preachers sitting with thousands of people in their congregation and will not preach a simple salvation message. Listen, when I got saved, it wasn't because I wanted to go to heaven when I died. It was simply because I didn't want to go to hell. I realized I was a sinner and that there was a penalty for my sin, and that penalty was a place called hell. This is not a fairy tale that we're about to read. This is not a parable that we are about to read. Amen. Hey, parables, the people don't have names. There's names here. These people literally existed. And by the way, the story we're about to read is about two men, and they're both still very much alive. You understand that? They are both still very much alive, but they are living in totally opposite situations. Let's look at the story. Luke chapter number 19. This ain't going to cut it. The Bible said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. I'm okay, Brother Anthony. I can see it from Dallas now. Does my eyeballs look that big around? Verse number 20. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Now, verse 23, pay very close attention. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torments. I want you to notice that word torments is in here over and over. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Brother Atkins, pray for us if you would this morning, preacher.
Our Father, we thank you now for the service thus far. We pray, dear Lord, that
yes, God,
we continue to bless and, Lord, speak and deal with hearts today. I pray for Brother Eddie, Lord. I know it's not always easy to bring one hell, but Lord, I'm not in the soul need, especially in the day that we're living in. I pray for that one.
Yes, God, have your way this
God,
morning. Amen. Again, let me say, hell is a word very seldom used other than in slang. I think it's sad when the world uses the word hell more than we do. Let me say it again. I think it's sad when the world uses the word hell, more than the church house does. I remember when I was lost, we would tell one another to go to hell. Brother Stacy and I and Brother Terry and I, we probably told one another that a time or two. God, if we only knew what we were saying when we said that, we'd have never said those words. I would not wish anybody to die and go to a place called hell. Some of the most famous preachers in America will not use the word hell. However, Jesus spoke about hell seven times more than he spoke about heaven. So how many of you want your children to die and go to hell? Not one of us. So we shouldn't mind when the preacher preaches on it once in a while. Amen. You say, preacher, what if we're all saved? Hey, hell ought to worry every one of us. There ought to be an awareness in our mind. If we're not careful, we tend to take the bad things that we know exist and push them way back in a corner somewhere. And listen, we know we're not going, so we don't worry about it. I wonder how many of you know someone who is. I wonder how many of you are acquainted with, on your job or at school, with somebody, if they died just like they are, they'd bust hell wide open. Stacy, I was thinking about the guys we went to high school with. It seemed like every so often we'd hear about a car wreck and somebody out of our class or somebody out of our high school would go out to meet God. And I thought about them this morning, and I thought about the ones who had a testimony, who knew Christ. Out of all the kids that got killed while we were in school, I can only think of one who had a testimony that he was a child of God. You know what that means? That means all the others busted hell wide open if they did not know Christ. Hey, the reality. Reality of hell ought to shake us in our shoes this morning.
Amen.
There's no doubt in my mind there are people in this room, if you don't get this thing settled in your heart about salvation and eternity, you'll burn in hell forever and ever and ever. They said, well, hell's just AC/DC. What was the guy's name? Angus Young. They sang that song, I'm on the highway to hell. No stop signs, no speed limit. Hey, they preach and they sing that hell is a party. Hell is anything but a party. They stood around Angus Young's grave. I think he drowned in his own vomit, something of that. Bon Scott, that's who I'm trying to think of. Thank you, Brother Rusty, my heavy metal aficionado. Amen. Amen. Just don't bang your head on the pew while I'm preaching, all right? Seriously, they stood around that man's grave. You know what they sang at his funeral? It wasn't Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. It wasn't I'll meet you in the morning. They stood around that young man's grave and they sang, I'm on the highway to hell. How sad is that? Hell's not a party. It's not a drug. It's not some sexual experience. It is torment forever and ever and ever and ever. That rich man in that place that doesn't have a fire. He said, hey, would you send that old beggar that laid at my gate every day? And see that gulf, it's no longer there. And we won't go into all that this morning. But the rich man was looking over into paradise. Jesus delivered them out of there and they're in glory now. Amen. But where they were, Lazarus or the rich man could look over that gulf from his torment, and he could say, do you know how much more torment that was? He looked over into that place of perfection, and he saw Lazarus laying in Abraham's bosom. How about that? He saw him being comforted while he is in his torment. Here's what he said. Would you send that old beggar that laid in the driveway every day and just let him dip his finger in water and touch my tongue, for I am in torment in this flame. A couple of things about hell, and I'm not going to preach long this morning. I don't think I need to. But I do want to make a few points. In hell, this man had a body of sorts. I don't understand that fully. I remember Brother Shane's not here this morning. He could probably testify to it. But I remember my brother-in-law, Nicky. When he was a teenager, he was in a motorcycle accident. And Brother Freddie cut his leg off like Brother Shane's. And I remember Nicky sitting on the couch, me, Ma, wherever you at, and telling me his foot hurt. Telling me his foot hurt. His foot that was gone. He still felt the pain. Those nerve endings, I guess, were still there. I don't know what it's going to be like in hell, but this rich man could see. He had vision. He could look over into paradise. Why? Because he saw, the Bible said, Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. He had a mouth. He could speak. He had a conversation with Abraham. He had a mind. He could think. Are you listening? He had feelings. He could feel. He had a memory. He remembered his brothers. You know what his prayer was? Not one time did he say, get me out of here. Please take me out of here. If you die and go to hell, you'll know you deserve to be there. Somebody said, well, I hadn't done anything to deserve to die and go to hell. Have you ever lied? Have you ever transgressed? You know what transgression is, don't you? That's breaking the law. Have you ever broken God's law? Yes. Come on. Yes. Have you ever told a lie? Yes. Some of you already today. Yes. If that's for me, I'm not here. Hey, men, you ever looked on a woman to lust? Don't die on me now. You ever taken the Lord's name in vain? What are you saying? You've sinned. We got a world that wants to categorize sin. Oh, he's a murderer or he's a child molester. He deserves to die and go to hell. Well, you're a liar and you deserve to die and go to hell too. People don't like this kind of preaching, but it's true. And the man in the pulpit looking at you this morning, he deserves to die and go to hell too. And the Pope deserves to die and go to hell too. There is not one righteous. No, not one, the Bible says. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. If we could be good enough, why did Jesus have to die? If we could really ride a bicycle enough to get to heaven, like the dear Mormons, bless their hearts, I feel sorry for them. I would to God you was half as dedicated as they are. What about that Jehovah's Witness? What about the poor Muslim? We're live on the radio. I'll catch heat for even saying something about a Muslim. I can preach against any religion in the world. Don't say nothing against Islam. You can be anything you want in America besides a straight Christian. Amen. You can be anything you want to be beside a straight Christian. By the way, I'm straight and I'm saved. And I believe this Bible. You know what? That makes us a cult. And people who blow themselves up in the name of their religion, oh, that's okay. How whacked out is that, man? Can you imagine believing in a cause so much that you would strap a bomb to your body and kill people? You say, that's the radical. They're all radical. There is no such thing as a peace-loving Muslim. I had a Muslim who had just recently been saved in Michigan, told me that very thing. He said, that's the biggest lie being fed to America. He said, we are taught from babies to hate your guts, and to kill you is a good thing. The minute those planes hit the towers, you think the fire was hot there? Those guys lifted their eyes in hell. Joel Osteen ain't got the backbone of a jellyfish. Amen. He sat on Larry King Live. Larry King looked him dead in his eyes and said, what do you think happened to those guys who flew the planes into the Twin Towers? Are they in heaven? Well, Larry, I just don't know. I do. Amen. I know. Ask me. Do people who die without Christ really die and go to hell? Well, Larry, I just don't know. Don't get mad at me. That's what the man said. And I said it more masculine than he did. Coward. Cotton-picking coward. I'm sorry. Lord, help give me the opportunity to preach to America. They'd jerk me off the air about that fast. About the time I kicked the poor Muslim. No, that's a hate crime. No. It's a hate crime if we don't. If we don't preach hell and tell people who die without Christ, that's where they'll spend eternity. That should be a hate crime. You see, we're not going to heaven because of what we've done. Because we don't deserve it. On my best day, and I have good days. Y'all don't believe that, but I do. I have days when I'm all right. Amen. When Sister Angie's real close, amen. And Stacy and Terry ain't nowhere around. Amen. We were visiting with Miss Bonnie yesterday, and I told Roger, Roger is my childhood friend and my cohort in crime, and we grew up together, and I told him, I said, man, I'm glad you moved back to Georgia, but my wife won't let me go nowhere with you. I have good days, but then I have bad days. Man, thank God. It's not dependent on what I can do. I'm with Paul in Romans chapter number 7. I understand. Man, that is the clearest passage of Scripture. It sounds like a tongue twister, but I'll never forget the first time I read that. I read it, and I read it again, and I read it again, and I read it again. I said, that's about me. I mean, Paul's saying, in my vernacular, doggone it. The harder I try, the worse I do. When I make up my mind and I pray and say, God, I'm going to do better, I mess up again. Every time I want to do right, the devil's right there. That's what he said. Evil's present with me. How many of you can get a witness? Joe, his fish get good. I wouldn't leave now. Look, he turned, he almost pinkies his shirt there. Pinky. Anybody else got to go? No, I'm kidding. Seriously. Seriously, where was I at? Joe just throwed me all off. Yeah, Romans chapter number 7. That's me. See, I'm schizophrenic. I can't even keep. Listen, seriously. Paul said, no matter how hard I try, man,
The Apostle Paul. He wrote 13 books of this Bible. If he couldn't live it, who do you think you are? That's why Jesus come, because them Jews couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. We was on the airplane the other day, and me and my wife was sitting there. No, it wasn't me and my wife. Me and Levi, me and my son. And these little boys got on the plane, and they had their little, what do you call them things? They had their little hair that grows down, the Jews. Anyway, they had them things. And they had, they not sideburns. Redneck, they're something else. They had those little things that they have to grow. But anyhow, I thought about them little Jewish boys with their little beanies on their head. God bless them. They're God's chosen people. And I'm not throwing rocks on them at them. But, buddy, their eyes are blinded. Until they accept Christ, they'll die and go to hell. Those Jews tried to live up to that law, and they couldn't do it. No matter how hard they try. Hey, listen, there is a group of preachers and Christians out there who will try to make you believe that they live right. Got quiet, didn't it? I've heard some of them preach, and I remember thinking as a kid, I can't live like that.
Yeah.
Little did I know they don't either.
Amen.
And I come to find out some of the meanest ones were the worst ones.
Yeah.
Boy, watch them die on me, brother. Help me, Brother Freddie. I'm glad you're home. Amen. Some of the meanest ones, man, were the worst ones. Some of the most self-righteous people are the wickedest people you know.
Amen.
Amen. When somebody tries to make you feel like they're better than you,
Amen.
It's a good sign they're not.
Yes, sir.
Are we all right this morning?
Amen.
What I'm trying to say, man, is you can't be good enough for heaven. We're fit for hell. But I'm so glad God doesn't want us to go there. He said he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Man, God wants to save you. God wanted to save me. Can you believe God wanted to save me? Brother Terry, can you believe God wanted to save us? Man, that's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. Man, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff. You say, preacher, you just don't know what I've done. Spend a little time with us. We'll have you feeling like you're ready for sainthood time you leave here. Most of the bad stuff I did growing up, I did at church.
Amen.
Are you listening? That's where I grew up.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. I remember watching dope deals go down on the back row. Got quiet. I'm serious, aren't I? I'm talking about passing notes. Hey, man, you got a joint? If anybody deserved to go to hell, you're looking at him. You know what I had to do not to? Not one single thing. All I had to do was take what he offered. Yeah. All I had to do was accept his son, Jesus Christ. And I know this is real simple this morning, but this is real needful. I'm not even looking at my notes. I'm just giving you my heart this morning. We need an awareness of hell. Our church needs an awareness of hell. You know what it'll do? It'll make you witness. It'll make you pray. And we're going to talk about that tonight. I hope you'll come back tonight. That little boy's mama, and I'm going to give my stuff away here, but that little boy's mama, she got saved because somebody got broken. When we realize that hell is reality, that our loved ones that we care for with all our heart, that we spend Christmas and Thanksgiving with, if they die without him, folks, they're going to hell. They're going to hell. Well, one guy told me, he said, I'll just work it out with the man upstairs when I get there. No. The Bible said, behold, today is the day of salvation. I would get that thing settled today. Listen, we need to come to grips with the fact that hell is, the grave is not the end. The grave is not the end. I have stood in funeral after funeral after funeral after funeral. And I've heard this statement made, I know, 1,000 times. Well, they're in a better place. They're in a better place. I ain't never heard a preacher stand in the pulpit and say, your daddy's in hell. You want the truth when you go to the doctor. But when it comes to this matter of salvation, I've never said that either. And I've preached funerals where I know they're in hell. And all I do is give them the plan of salvation. It's all I can do. Can you imagine standing at the foot of the casket of your loved one, and you're thinking about them right now, somebody who's lost, and looking into that cold, clammy face, and to know that somewhere they're screaming bloody murder, and they're burning, and will burn forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's horrible, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Preacher, how dare you? How dare I not? How wicked would a doctor be to find a lump and just say it's better that they don't know about it? We took these x-rays and we see the tumor, but they look at you and go, oh, you're okay. That's what the majority of preaching in America is today. You're okay. You're okay. I won't say where, but within driving distance of where I'm standing, our youth choir was singing one night in a Baptist church. A little girl, while the choir was singing, came to the altar, trembling, tears flowing. One of the young ladies in the youth choir, it was Stephanie Speck, is who it was. She got down out of the choir and was going to pray for the girl, pray with the girl. She said, what can I help you pray about? She said, I'm not saved and I don't want to die and go to hell. The pastor got up out of his seat, took her by the hand, said, now, honey, you're okay. You go back to your seat. I witnessed that with my own eyes. A Baptist preacher. God help us. If you're not saved, you're not okay. If you are saved, you're not okay. You're just living by grace. You're going to heaven by the grace of God. That's it. We're all sinners. Some of us are just sinners saved by grace. If I didn't know this morning about this issue, I'd get it settled. I wouldn't walk out of this building. How many of you, now watch this, I want you looking around. How many of you would be willing to take your Bible right now and get in this altar with somebody and show them how they know in less than 5 minutes where they'll spend eternity? How many of you be willing to help somebody like that? Look at that. That's everybody in this room. That's just about everybody in this room. We're on your side. We're not trying to get you to join our cult. We're not trying to get you to drink the Kool-Aid. We're not trying to get you to dance with a snake. Those people are stupid. If you dance with a rattlesnake, you deserve to get bit and you deserve to die. I cannot mention what I do with rattlesnakes because PETA will be on our doorstep. I chop their heads off with a hoe. Can I get a witness? Green, yeah, belt, boots, hallelujah. That's the only way I... Green snakes, black snakes, king snakes, rat snakes, they all snakes and I hate them all. Amen. Amen. I don't even know where I was going with that. Scared myself talking about snakes. Where was I? This 48-year-old stuff is killing me. Don't die and go to hell. Do not die and go to hell. Do not die and go to hell. It's a real place. That rich man who lifted up his eyes in torment in that flame, he's still there. Just as sure as we're here, he's there. How many of you believe in heaven? Is everybody in this room? Well, just as real as that is, just as sure as my little grandmother's in heaven this morning, just as sure as my predecessor, Brother J.M. Brooks, he's in glory this morning. I bet he's shouting all over that place still. I bet he ain't stopped since he got there. And that's been a few years ago. I guarantee you. Him and Bobby might stop to sing a little bit. Then they go right back shouting. I guarantee you. Brother Jay Bice, sure as I'm here this morning, he's there. Are you listening? And boy, that's comforting, isn't it? And boy, we love to think about our loved ones and we'll get to see them again. But what about those who die without him? Let me ask you a question this morning. Can you look at somebody in your family or somebody you're here with today? Could you look at them in the eyeball right now and tell them, hey, I just want you to know, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. If anything ever happens to me, don't you worry. I'll be in glory. Can you do that?
Can you do it? Now let me ask you another question. Will you do it? Would you do it? Right now. You say, preacher, that's a little forward. I know it. Would you do it? Would you tell somebody in your family, hey, if something happens to me, I want you to know I'll be in heaven when I die. If y'all have to bury me, tell that preacher, I'm in heaven. I've got this thing settled in my heart. Get that thing taken care of. Look at your family right now. Honey, if something happens to me, you know how sorry I am, but I'm saved. There ain't no doubt in my mind. You tell Brother Charles he better not preach me in hell. I'll be in heaven. Amen. I've got that settled in my heart. Man, you can know that as well as you know your name. The Bible said, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. You may be one of those sitting there thinking, well, I just don't think you can really know. You can really know. Sister Lauren just got saved a couple weeks ago. Lauren, can you know? You can know, can't you, hon? You can know. You can get that thing settled right here today. I'm not trying to get you, like I said, dance with a snake. There it was. I'm not trying to get you to join our club. I'm not trying to get you to even join this church. I just don't want you to die and go to hell. Somebody said, Mo, I've been trying to do right and try to do better, and I just, man, you can't turn over a new leaf. It's not reform you need, it's transform you need. Amen. It's not, let me say it again, it's not reform you need. You know what our government is starting to figure out? And Brother Carlos can give you all kind of statistics and numbers. They're starting to figure out that all these wounded warrior projects and all that's good stuff, but they ain't helping nobody. Their ideas and their philosophy isn't helping those soldiers. You know what they found out? And they're even admitting it. Faith-based programs are the only thing showing any result. That's the government said, well, the only thing working is this faith stuff. Yeah. All this other stuff ain't turning over a new leaf, seven steps. Ain't none of that stuff going to help you. But Jesus Christ will help you. And he will save you this morning if you'll trust him. If you'll just trust him. Can we stand together all over the house? Let's just bow our head. Nobody looking around. I know it's scattered this morning. This is just what's on my heart. I'll give you an alliterated outline tonight if you'll come back. But this morning, we don't need an outline. We need somebody born again. We need somebody to say, hey, I don't want to die and go to hell. Somebody to get that settled today. Ashley, y'all come and get us a song. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. Help me, young people. Let's not be looking around. I wonder if there's somebody here today. Or I wonder how many people would be honest and say, preacher, there's no doubt in my mind. There's not even a shadow of a doubt. I can tell you assuredly that I know for a fact if I died right now, heaven would be my home. Preacher, I know I'm saved. Would you slip up your hand? Thank the Lord. That's just about everybody in the room. You can put them down. I wonder if you'd say, Brother Eddie, I couldn't raise my hand. I want to raise my hand. But deep down in my heart, I'm not really sure. I can't promise you for sure, preacher, that if I died right now, heaven would be my home. I need to get that thing settled in my heart. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you for nothing. But I do want to pray for you. If you just slip up your hand, say, preacher, that's me. I don't want to die and go to hell. Please pray for me. God bless you, ma'am. There be anybody else, God bless you, hon. Anybody else, just slip up your hand. Just slip up your hand. Preacher, I need to, God bless you, sir. I need to get this thing settled. I need to know. I need to be able to tell my family. If something happens, I'm going to heaven when I die. I need them to know that. And I need to know it in my heart. Please pray for me. Anybody else? Father, as we come to you again this afternoon, Lord, as much as I don't want anybody to die and go to hell, I know you don't. Lord, you are willing to give everything, shed your own blood, that we might not have to. Lord, you've seen every hand, you know every heart. Lord, you gave them the mind to know that they're not sure. Lord, you gave them the gumption to raise their hand and at least admit it. God, help them to act on it this morning.
Don't let one leave here today without knowing you as their Savior. Please, Father, do what you do. God, I preached a message. I know it wasn't much, but I know what you can do with it. Now, Lord, save them. Lord, help them to trust you this morning. We'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.